And the Afterglow is made possible in part by the generosity of Superior Energy of Vernon, offering 5-star rated personalized propane service for customers throughout Connecticut and southern Massachusetts. Now in their 80th year, Superior Energy goes above and beyond with their customer-first focus. Call 800-242-0427 to discuss your propane needs, or visit propanect.com for a live chat.
Yes, of course, you know it. It's our time in the Afterglow. Hi, I'm Father John Gatzak, and your time is valuable. So I thank you for sharing this brief bit of time with me. We transition from the thoughts, the cares, responsibilities, and worries of the day to some relaxed emotions of the evening. So shake off some of the worries and the cares that have consumed your thoughts and share with me some October moments. Within a brief hour of time, we've got music and messages that relax, encourage, and inflate the imagination with dreams that you've not dared dream for some time. How about forgiveness? Yeah, how about it? Well, whether we acknowledge it or not, we pay an enormous cost for unresolved anger, grudges, and grievances. What if baby steps toward forgiveness could open up your doors to healing and deepening your connections to yourself and your loved ones? You see, learning to forgive can help you release some of the emotional baggage that weighs you down, like cumbersome sandbags. When you find pathways for forgiveness, you start changing how you respond to people who may not behave the way you want them to. So by forgiving, you are finding peace inside yourself, in order to be capable of love and trust once again. Now, forgiveness is for you alone and will allow you to move forward with your life. So now here's where we find the power to trust, the power to forgive, and to forget. It's all here in the Afterglow. You're in the Afterglow. I'm Father John. This is WJMJ. We are getting life back into balance. Glad you're here. So we can just set life straight with a bit of music and inspiration to help engage the best of who we really are in the Afterglow. You know, October is full of holidays and observances, but one that is sometimes overlooked is the fact that it is Clergy Appreciation Month. I kid you not. October is a special time that congregations set aside each year to honor their pastors and priests for the hard work, the sacrificial dedication, and multiple blessings provided by these people. It's typically scheduled in October, but it is also important to remember that appreciation, affirmation, and prayer support of our spiritual leaders is appropriate throughout the entire year. Now, the nature of the service provided by clergy is really unique. God has entrusted to them one of the most precious of assignments, the spiritual well-being of His flock. Now, it is believed that the concept of clergy appreciation started with the Apostle Paul as he was establishing the first Christian churches. In 1 Timothy, he wrote, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." And in 1 Thessalonians, he said, "Respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work." Well, accordingly, over the centuries, decades, and years, pastors have been recognized and honored, either formally or informally, by many denominations and local churches at various times of the year. It has been a long-standing practice, focus on the family, named and began emphasizing Clergy Appreciation Month back in 1994, reminding congregations that it was biblical and proper to honor their pastoral staffs and pastoral families throughout the year, but suggesting that they set aside the month of October for a special tangible tribute. Doesn't your pastor, don't your priests deserve this kind of recognition? Do something about it today. Trivia time now in the Afterglow. Can you tell me what the first ever motion picture was and when it came out? I know, it's a tricky question. I'll give you a minute. Okay, got it yet? If you guessed 1895's workers leaving the Lumiere factory, well, not only did you get it right, but you've impressed me as well. It was a French black and white film about workers leaving a factory on the outskirts of Lyon, France. And while most films in this day and age run about 2 hours, this film was only a whopping 46 seconds long. Sure sounds like a real time saver, huh? Well, I bring this up because today is the birth anniversary of one of the directors of that first motion picture. Auguste Lumière was born on this day in 1862. Now, Auguste, along with his brother Louis Lumière, were the first filmmakers in history. They patented the cinematograph, which, in contrast to Thomas Edison's kinetoscope, allowed simultaneous viewing by multiple parties. And they also patented a number of significant processes leading up to their film camera, most notably film proliferations as a means of advancing the film through the camera and projector. And the first footage ever shown through it was the first film, Workers Leaving the Lumiere Factory. Film has come a long way since then, but tonight we remember the first film and the first filmmaker as we remember Auguste Lumiere on his 159th birth anniversary.
Then you took those words away. Then you couldn't make things new just by saying I love you.
Music by Extreme called More Than Words. And we're here in the Afterglow, here on WJMJ Catholic Radio, where faith meets life. Time now to piece together the individual bits and fragments of life to try to get a vision of the whole picture. So let's journey toward the intersection of where faith meets life. It's true, isn't it? Too often, we don't realize how great we have it until something is taken away. A man had a mentally challenged sister who couldn't talk or walk or feed herself. She needed constant attention. Growing up, he and his other family members helped take care of her. They learned to distinguish among their sister's cries, which were her only way to communicate. There was a hunger cry, and a cry for when she wanted to get up, and a cry for when she wanted to go to bed, and another cry for when she was thirsty. The most difficult cry was the sound she made when she had an itch. You see, she couldn't tell them where she felt the itch, so they would go all over her body, scratching and scratching, trying to alleviate that itch. Living with his handicapped sister helped this man appreciate the simple things in life that so many of us take for granted. Scratching an itch is no big deal until you can't. Then it becomes a very significant matter indeed. It's a big deal that we tell our arms to work and they work. It's a big deal that we open our eyes and without even thinking about it, we see. When you get up in the morning and you're tempted to dwell on your problems, how you don't want to go to work and how life's not been fair to you, why don't you turn that around? Instead, thank God that you can scratch your itch. Why don't you thank God that you have no problem breathing? Why don't you look out the window and appreciate the simple things like the sun coming up, the birds singing, and the flowers blooming? Sometimes we think, oh, my life is so routine. I just get up and go to work and come home. Nothing exciting is happening. I just do the same thing again and again. But we should be thankful for routine everyday life. There's nothing ordinary about getting up and going to work. There's nothing ordinary about being able to see, having friends, or having family. Those are gifts from God. Too often, we don't realize how great we have it until something is taken away. I know a young man, Joe, who used to play basketball until he started having a problem with his eyes. He had always been very healthy and very active, but his eyes kept bothering him, so he went to the doctor. And after several tests, they told Joe that he had cancer of the eye. The doctor said there was a very good chance he would lose his vision. Joe was so distraught and upset, he went in for an operation. And to the doctor's surprise, they discovered Joe did not have eye cancer. Instead, they found an unusual fungus behind his eye that was affecting his sight. They removed it and saved his vision. When Joe woke up from the operation and heard that his vision was restored, he said, "This is the greatest day of my life." Think about it. He didn't just win the lottery. He didn't just buy a new big house. He didn't just get a promotion. He simply got the news that his vision was back to normal. After his eyesight was restored, Joe said, "Every day I get up in the morning and on purpose I look around. I stare at my children and my wife. I go outside and look at the trees. I bend down and pick up an acorn on the ground." Because Joe almost lost his vision, being able to see normally has taken on a whole new meaning for him. He will never again take his eyesight for granted. He will forever be grateful for the gift of sight. Now things changed for Joe when he thought he might lose something as routine and normal as vision. You and I should never take for granted what God has given us. If you can see, if you can hear, if you can walk, if you've got good health, family, friends, and a good job, learn to appreciate each of those gifts. This is where faith meets life.
You tell all the boys no, makes you feel good, yeah. I know you're out of my league, but that won't scare me away, oh no. You've carried on so long, you couldn't stop if you tried it. You've built your wall so high that no one could climb it. But I'm gonna try, would you let me see beneath your beautiful, would you let me see beneath your puppet? Take it off now, girl. Take it off now, girl. I wanna see inside. Would you let me see beneath your beautiful tonight?
That was Labyrinth with a stirring song called Beneath Your Beautiful. Together in the Afterglow on WJMJ, I'm here reminding you that no matter where you go or what you do, God is thinking about how terrific you are and how much He loves you. Did you look into the mirror today? No, not to check your hair, but to really, really look at the person in the mirror and think, who am I? What have I done with my life? Where am I going? If you didn't, I'm asking you to do this because today is Evaluate Your Life Day. It's a day to encourage you to check and see if you're headed where you want to be. So try to think of everything that you've done in your lifetime. No, not every little detail, but think of what you've done in the big picture. Now, when you look at yourself, avoid thinking about the negatives. Don't think about the risk you didn't take, the job that didn't work out, or the life that you wish you had. Think about the positives. Think of how you were able to be successful, how you found that special someone, or think about the good things that I have done for other people. You may have made some mistakes. No one is perfect, not even me. For sure not me. But when you look into the future, try to learn from the mistakes you made in the past to help you get where you want to be in the future. So think of all the great memories that you've had in the past and get excited about the future moments that you will have in the future. And this will be all thanks to Evaluate Your Life Day.
Listen, baby.
Celebrating Evaluate Your Life Day with a song from Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell entitled Ain't No Mountain High Enough. As we encourage people to check out what's going on in their lives and to set things on the proper course. Now, you and I, well, we're here in the Afterglow. I'm Father John, you know who you are. And this is where we unwind, relax, count blessings, and take time to reorder priorities. Story time now, here in the Afterglow. As this fable goes, they built a new church building and people came from far and wide to see it. They admired its beauty. Up on the roof, a little nail heard the people praising everything about the lovely structure except the nail. No one even knew he was there, and he became angry and jealous. If I am that insignificant, nobody will miss me if I quit. So the nail then released its hold, slid down the roof, and fell in the mud. That night it rained and rained. Soon the shingle that had no nail blew away, and the roof began to leak. The water streaked the walls and the beautiful murals. The plaster began to fall, the carpet was stained, and the pulpit Bible was ruined by the water. All this because a little nail decided to quit. But what of the nail? While holding the shingle, it was obscure, but it was also useful. Buried in the mud, it was just as obscure, but now it was useless and would soon be eaten up by rust. The moral of the story? Every member is important to the church. You may, like the nail, feel obscure at times, but just like the nail, your absence is felt. When you don't go to church, when you don't participate in the life of your church, when you're not at Mass, in some way the body of Christ hurts. You and me, we are all a part of the Lord's church, and each one of us is truly indispensable. You and me, something to think about.
What day is it? And in what month? This clock never seems so alive. I can't keep up, and I can't back down. I've been losing so much time. 'Cause it's you and me, and all other people, nothing to do, nothing to lose. And it's you and me, and all other people, and I don't know why I can't keep my eyes off of you. One of the things that I wanna say just aren't coming out right. I'm tripping on words, you got my head spinning. I don't know where to go from here. 'Cause it's you and me, and all other people, nothing to do, nothing to prove. And it's you and me, and all other people, and I don't know why I can't keep my eyes off of you. There's something about you now I can't quite figure out. Everything she does is beautiful. Everything she does is right. 'Cause it's you and me, and all other people, nothing to do, nothing to lose. And it's you and me, and all other people, and I don't know why I can't keep my eyes off of you and me. And all other people, nothing to do, nothing to prove. And it's you and me, and all other people, and I don't know why I can't keep my eyes off of you. And in what month? This clock never seems so alive.
A song called You and Me by Lifehouse, first released back in 2005. And so we relax, unwind, and realize how precious moments of life can really be when spent together, you and me. And why not spend the evening with family and friends, those we care about? I'm Father John, and I really appreciate your company tonight. Don't let anyone tell you that thinking big is not biblical. God wants you to try to imagine greater things for Him to do than ever before. Lay them at His feet. Make them your heart's prayer. When God does big things in the world, it is because His followers have prayed for big things to happen. Get involved. Pray big, and God will do big. More than you can think or imagine. Now turn on the light, you'll see better. Mighty hand went to work. Out of nothing came light. Out of light came day. Canyons were carved, oceans were dug, mountains erupted out of flatlands, stars were flung, a universe sparkled, the hand behind it was mighty. He is mighty.
Stop the clocks, it's amazing. You should see the way the light dances off your hair. A million colors of hazel, golden and red.
Night prayer is coming up, but first, let's let God's Word talk back to us in today's Word.
Oh, I will hold on to the afterglow.
Today is Tuesday of the 29th week in Ordinary Time. Be ready to open the door as soon as He comes and knocks. The Master comes to us in some predictable ways, in the sacraments, and especially in the Eucharist. On these occasions, we have made it our business to go out to meet Him. But sometimes He comes when we are not ready for Him, through the people we meet or through circumstances. The servants in today's Gospel knew that the Master was coming. They had no excuse for being unprepared. But as time dragged by, they lost interest and became weary of waiting. We also know that we may encounter Jesus Christ at any moment. It may be in the beggar in the street or in our own children. He may visit us through sickness or through success. We will not see or hear Him as did the apostles, but nonetheless, He will be there, lurking behind the persons and events that touch us. If we are ready for Him and handle these situations with Christian love, if we are generous to the beggar, guide our children with gentleness and firmness, are patient in sickness and humble in success, then we are opening the door to the Master. The reward for being ready to immediately open the door is remarkable. The Master will put on His apron, sit us down at table, and wait on us. It is a complete reversal of roles. We are reminded of the Last Supper when Jesus washed the feet of the apostles as a sign of His love for them. One can understand Peter's protest. At first glance, it does not seem right for the Son of God either to wash our feet or to wait on us at table. His behavior stops us in our tracks and makes us think. He shows us that however dedicated we try to be, He will never be outdone in generosity. So, let us wait patiently for Him to come. Then He will wait on us at table. Time after time, we receive so much more than we gave.
Thank you. and darkness has turned to gray. Watching through windows, you're wondering if I'm okay. Secrets stolen from deep inside. The drum beats out of time.